I didn't realize how much I had dated myself with today's sermon title, even with my wife, who loves to tell you how much younger she is than I am. But Amy saw the title and she said to me, "Be like Mike? Mike? Is he in the Bible somewhere? Who is Mike?" And I said, "Amy, who is Mike? Amy, please. He's only the greatest basketball player who ever lived. Unless you count Wilt the Stilt or Pistol Pete or Dr. J or Magic or Larry or Kobe or LeBron or Steph. But for me, it's probably still Mike. I was a freshman at Furman University during Michael Jordan's sophomore season. He was in a Tar Heels uniform the year Lorenzo Charles dunked that final second shot, leading Jim Valvano's Wolfpack to its first national championship. Now, back in those good old days, Furman University and the Citadel, you know, those two powerhouse basketball programs, came to the Charlotte Coliseum every winter for a weekend to face off against North Carolina and North Carolina State. It was called the North-South Doubleheader. Traveling with the pep band, I got to see that NC State National Championship team, and I saw James Worthy and the high-flying acrobatics of Michael Jordan in person. I actually walked out onto the floor as the pep band was moving into the stands, and I was standing there with Lorenzo Charles, who was bigger than a refrigerator. I'd never seen anybody that big. And the next year I came, and I walked out there, and there was Michael Jordan shooting his warm-ups. We never won one of those games. But it was some good band trips, I can tell you that. Now, those days, now 40 years gone, provided the beginning of Michael Jordan's domination of basketball and the beginning of his Air Jordan empire that has made him a billionaire three times over. He may not get your vote, but when he was on top of the game, he was the GOAT, the greatest of all time. At the height of Michael Jordan's influence, Gatorade enlisted the group called Techno to sing the jingle for one of its commercials. "Sometimes I dream that he is me. You've got to see that's how I dream to be. I dream I move, I dream I groove like Mike. If I could be like Mike, oh, if I could be like Mike. Amy, Michael Jordan, be like Mike." Especially to our children and our youth today, I'd like to say that there is nothing wrong with having an idol, someone to look up to, someone to emulate. It's an important part of growing up. But in our celebrity-soaked culture, the idols we sometimes choose are unfortunate. So choose carefully, young people, who you want to emulate. Be careful whom you choose, because you might end up being just like them. In the church year, today is informally called Good Shepherd Sunday, because in all three of the lectionary years, the texts for this day include references to Jesus using the imagery of the shepherd. And those texts are all supported by the 23rd Psalm, which the choir has sung twice now, and you have shared some of those words in the confession. In the funerals I conduct for McEwen Funeral Service, the 23rd Psalm is probably requested 90% of the time. Now, for most of those people who are not in church, the 23rd Psalm is still part of their vernacular. Most of the time when I lead it, everybody in the congregation can speak it from memory. Why that particular psalm? What is it about that psalm that is so appealing? I think it is ironic that perhaps the most loved and best known of all scriptures relies on a metaphor that is completely foreign to us. How many of you have ever seen a real live shepherd? We have no idea what they really look like, what they actually do. How can that metaphor still hold influence on a culture so far removed from shepherds and shepherding? It is a foreign metaphor. And in his commentary on the passage, Reverend Paul Nancaro says, "We may also miss an important insight because our understanding of the word comfort does not convey some of its original meaning. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." Comfort. The psalm rings with a warm, sentimental message. It's a feel-good text, and that's okay. But Reverend Nancaro says there is more to that word from the Latin, cum fortis, with strength. Nancaro says the comfort of God when we walk through the darkest valley is not just like some warm blanket. It's not God holding us, shielding us from fear and darkness. There's more to it than that. Now, I'm 60 years old, and I can still remember being held in my mother's arms. I have several memories, but one strong, lasting memory of being carried in from the car on one cold night. I don't know, I was 4 years old or something. We had been on a trip somewhere, and I had fallen asleep in the back seat. When we arrived home, my mother came around and picked me up, wrapped me up against her breast, and sheltered me from the cold and carried me in through the darkness into the warmth of my bed. That's what I think of when I hear the word comfort. And this is one picture of God's comfort. But if we just bury our heads in the comfort of God's mothering care, we miss some of the power of what comfort is all about. Fully expressed, comfort is not an escape from the concerns of the world, an avoidance of the reality of a harsh world. It is the courage to face the world cum fortis, with strength, to confront with courage, and in the process, to transform and to be transformed. We will not always conquer. Let's not frame faith as a battle in which we always must win. We don't always win. We don't always get the miracle we want. Life often does not give us what we want. But the comfort of Christ, the strength of His example, is the power of God that can transform even our suffering. God is the energy in all things, always working to bring about the good. Reverend Nancaro continues. He says, for all of its beauty and traditional significance, the metaphor of the Good Shepherd fails in one important way. He says, no earthly shepherd expects the sheep to become more shepherd-like as they follow. They just keep on being sheep. But our relationship with Jesus helps us to grow into ever increasingly Christ-like versions of ourselves. Ever increasingly Christ-like versions of ourselves. The aim of faith is not to make you into anyone else, not like Mike, not even like Jesus. God wants to make you into yourself, a better version of who and what God already loves about you. And faith helps you to live into ourselves day by day. Always learning, always growing, adding strength. It's like Russ 2.0, or Amy 3.0, or Matt, Sarah, Reed, Louise, Clara, Robert, new and improved. It's the Christ-like version of yourself. You with strength. For 10 years, Dan McClintock has helped this church live into the Christ-like version of itself. With tireless enthusiasm, Dan always says yes. I don't know that I've ever heard Dan say no. More volunteers to recruit, more snack pack food to load, more books to sort, more meetings to organize, more kids to tutor, more over-the-counter medicines to collect, more pillowcase dresses to transport, more construction repair to facilitate, more. Dan always says yes. He has never shrunk from the task. Another trip to Cuba, another Rise Against Hunger event, teaching Yolani to drive. And if you don't know how much courage it takes to get in the car with a Honduran woman who can't read English, who has never felt the steering wheel in her hand, you don't know what courage is. Thank you, Dan. By the time John was writing his gospel, perhaps as late as 70 years after the death of Jesus, he could articulate a full Christology, that is, belief in Jesus as the Christ. John believed Jesus had lived not just into his full potential, but into the full potential of humanity itself. Living into that potential, John saw the cross at the center. And it was not just the cross as another victim, another execution by the Romans, but the cross as a destiny chosen by Jesus. John sees in Jesus the strength to walk into our own future, no matter how difficult it might be. To walk into our own future on our own strength. John sees the power of self-determination as he says of Jesus, "I lay down my life in order to pick it up again. It was all Jesus's. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it up again." Paul Nancarrow says, "That empowerment from God to offer his life on the cross was the same empowerment that enabled him to renew life beyond the empty tomb. The power to take up his life again resided in his relationship with God, creating new possibilities for the continuing embodiment of that selfhood. Jesus' death and resurrection were one and the same activity of self-offering and self-constituting co-creative relationship with God." Let me ask you a riddle. What gets bigger the more you take away from it? What gets bigger the more you take away from it? Anybody know? Bob Clare said, "A hole gets bigger the more you take away from it." He's right. A hole gets bigger the more you take away from it. Christian life offers a similar paradox. The more life you give away, the more life you have. My friend, Dr. Bill Hull, used to say love had a multiplicative power. He and his wife had had one child, and they loved her with their whole heart, and they got pregnant. And he said, "I was afraid I would not be able to love my second child as much as my first. How could I love that much again?" But love has a multiplicative power. The more you love, the more you can love. Jesus teaches the same thing about life. The more you give, the more you can give. Jesus gave all, which makes his life, life, death, and resurrection, the way to full, abundant, free, eternal life. You do not need to be anyone but who you are. God doesn't need you to be anyone but who you are. The world does not need you to be anyone but who you are. And by the love of God and in the way of Jesus, you can be you with strength. May it be so. Amen. Dan's 10th anniversary was in November, but of course he didn't say anything about it, and so it just went by the way, you know? When we finally realized, we said, we got to do something about this. You know, Dan has done so much. He is one of those quiet employees. You may not know what all Dan does, but Dan does a lot around here. So much of what has been important to Park Road Baptist Church, so much that has identified us for the last decade, Dan has been responsible for. So we ask four folks who are intimately involved with the work that Dan does to come and speak for 2 minutes each. Now, I was supposed to keep my sermon a little shorter than I did, and I didn't do that, so let's see how they do. 2 minutes each. Jimmy, George, Linda, and Darren, come talk with us.
Because I don't dress like this for anybody. I do this out of respect for Dan, my friend Dan McClinic. I was shocked when Amy sent us the email that he'd been here 10 years. And I guess it's because he's part-time and he's done 15 years of work in 10 years. I really did think he'd been here longer than that. I'm here because, you know, of homeless ministries. I don't know what y'all called it in the bulletin, but that's how I got to know Dan, probably, as I remember it. And you know, I could share stories about the homeless ministries, Room in the Inn, probably, you know, I show up and the van's not here, Dan has to find a van. I show up, the van key's not here, Dan has to bring a key here. You know, in the lean years, if I can't spend the night, Dan has to spend the night. He's always here doing something. I guess there was a time, Linda reminded me of this, when we came in, the room was full of lizards. And, you know, I'm picking up lizards and throwing them out the window. And you know, I love to tell the story that my pastor spent the night with 12 women. You know, that happens a lot in Room in the Inn. We were, a couple weeks ago, the last time we did the meal at the men's shelter, they changed the times on us. They moved it back an hour, and, you know, Dan's there, of course, and finally he goes, I'm supposed to leave here at 5, it's Ann's birthday. I said, why didn't you tell me that? So I had to tell him about 5 times to finally leave, and finally he did. You know, I believe that God places people in your life for a reason. And Dan came in my life at a time when I really needed it. I play a lot of golf with Dan outside of these walls here, and we have a friend that we play with all the time. And it's always a joke with the starter or the guy in the pro shop, where's your third guy? Well, he'll be here in a minute. He's doing something at the church or doing something with his family. Or he'll call me, I'm not going to make it today. I'm at the golf course. I'm not going to make it today because I've got to take somebody to the doctor. Or, you know, as Russ said in his sermon, he's always doing something here. So I'm blessed to be Dan's friend. I don't know of any friend that I've got that's better than him. And when it came down that we weren't doing Room in the Inn this year, an understatement would be I was livid. I knew I could go to Dan and tell Dan what I thought and what I was going to do, and that he would go, let's don't do that right now, and that's probably not a good idea. And I told him that because I knew he would say that, and he's probably the only one I would listen to. He has that effect on me and many others. You know, he's a perfect fit for this church, and he has been, and I know God knew that when he sent him here. So in keeping with the sermon today, when I grow up, I want to be like Dan. Thank you.
Ann and I joined Park Road in January after Dan came aboard in November. I got my first exposure to the treasure that is Dan in the fall of 2015 when Park Road decided that our next big thing was going to be to expand our partnership with Sedgefield Elementary School to make a real difference in the lives of children. Over the past 9 years, as I have worked with Dan in this effort, I've seen firsthand his self-effacing, behind-the-scenes hard work. Dan has worked with the administration of several different schools and other faith-based groups to seek to be an effective partner, trying to meet the needs of schools. Over the years, as we greatly expanded our snack pack effort, Dan has at times effectively carried it. He has refined the contents, ordered the food, picked that food up, organized packing events, and delivered bins. He's used help when it was offered, But when it was necessary, he did it himself. He has provided supplies and refreshments for celebrations for both students and teachers. He's consistently asked me, "When do you need me?" in the Book of Paloozas, showing up to do the grunt work as I needed him. And he has always found me money to buy books. But in all these efforts, Dan has never put himself out front. He stays true to the mantra of the love of God and the way of Jesus. I could never have pulled off the book giveaways without Dan. Hundreds of kids would have gone a little hungrier over the weekends without Dan. Kids and teachers would not have been rightfully celebrated without Dan. And more things than I know to benefit kids would not have been done without Dan. Thank you, Dan. Well done, good and faithful servant.
In his 10 years with us, one of Dan's ongoing roles has been organizing, planning, and leading our annual trips to visit our partner congregation in Carlos Rojas, Cuba. For those who may not be familiar with our partnership, the focus is on relationships, not mission projects. Several of us have had the pleasure of traveling there with Dan a number of times, and many others have gone once or twice. Dan is always well prepared and truly concerned for the safety and well-being of those traveling with him. Cuba travel can be unpredictable and challenging, but Dan just rolls with it and makes adjustments as needed. During this time, he has formed a very strong bond with the pastor and the congregation of our partner church, Resurrection Baptist Church in Carlos Rojas, Cuba. This has resulted in our partnership growing stronger with each passing year. He does not have to speak their language to have done this. I will let the words of Miletus, the pastor there since 2016, express her feelings about what Dan has done for her and for the community of Resurrection Baptist Church. At the time of our trip there in 2017, she was relatively new to the church, and prior to her arrival, the church had been through some very difficult and divisive times. It was up to her to stabilize the church, heal wounds, and bring the divided congregation together. Dan listened to her. He doesn't speak Spanish. She doesn't speak English. Dan listened to her and worked to understand the situation she was facing. She credits the support, concern, and understanding that he showed her during that visit as giving her the confidence she needed to face that task that was before her. During that visit, he expressed his confidence to her publicly to the people, his confidence in her publicly to the people of the church. She says, "I knew him, and he was giving me a vote of confidence. I think this made him a very special person always for me. He offers friendship from his heart, and his simplicity is felt. His good treatment, his patience, his way of approaching a situation, his great effort to understand what people say and what they feel, his concern about how times are and how their lives are. All of this makes the other person calm and confident with him. I have to thank him for his trust in me and my ministry and the people of the church. His great efforts and loyalty on behalf of our community and our country have earned him the respect of everyone there. We want to honor him on this day. We pray for him, his ministry, and his family. May God reward him from above, and may all good things come to him and his beautiful family.
Having been trained as a newspaper reporter, I found out early on and was told, if you want to find out what something's all about, if you stand back and watch and listen, you'll get a pretty good idea. When I started coming to Park Road Baptist Church, I noticed that hymn number 537 popped up a little more often than a random numerical sequence would allow. Christian, rise and act your creed. That song comes up a little more often than you would think, but it's more than a song and a service. If you watch what this church does, Dan McClintock lives that. The second line of that hymn comes up to me every time. Let your prayer be in your deed. If we are slow to sign up for volunteer opportunities and only 5 sign up when 6 are needed, we always have a 6th. When the bus needs to be driven and no one signs up to drive the bus gets where it needs to be. As Russ mentioned in this sermon, he packs the food, he delivers the food, he orders the food, he buys the food. At every step along the way, Dan McClintock lives his prayer indeed. May it always be so.
Calm, steady, loyal, fun, unflappable, no drama. That's my favorite one. No drama. Colleague, and my real favorite one is friend. These are the words we use when we think of Dan McClintock. We don't need to recount to all of you who Dan is. Everyone knows the same person because Dan is the same to everyone. Willing to do anything, anytime, anywhere, for anyone, never once wanting, needing, seeking any limelight. The best compliment I can give to Dan is that when it came time for us to perform the wedding for our son and his bride, who also grew up in this church, we wanted just a moment to be their parents and not their pastors. We asked who they would like to step up and step in for us so that we could turn and stand beside them and not in front of them to join her parents in offering a blessing. They chose Dan. We were not surprised. Thank you, Dan, for being our pastor to our family, not just on that day, but on so many days. As I was driving to work this morning, I was going over what I would say today, and I thought, here's what I wish. I wish every pastor in every church had a Dan McClintock alongside them. Pastors would stay in the job so much longer if they worked with a Dan McClintock. We've had many colleagues in our 34 years of professional ministry, and Dan rises to the very top for us as a trusted partner in ministry and a faithful friend. Thank you, Dan, for a decade with us. Park Road is so much better because of you, because you are among us and alongside us. May you have many more with us, at least as many as we have. That is our deal. So family, get on board with that deal.